there, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we are talking about Night Call. This is week one of two of our chat, so we'll be talking about this for 2 weeks. This is week one of that, of the game Night Call. A little information about the game. It was released back in July of 2019, developed by Monkey Moon and Black Muffin. Well, published by Monkey Moon and Raw Fury. And it's available on Switch, Xbox One, PC, and Mac. A little summary of the game. You have 7 nights to help find the killer, or the police will pin it on you. These next few shifts will be far from ordinary or safe. Night Call is a non-linear, narrative-driven, noir investigative game. You are no detective, but you do have a gift. Around you, people feel more at ease. And so for this listening, we always have a... intro, so you know who you're listening to, as well as an intro question that has to do with the game that we're talking about this week. Our intro question is, if you have an oddest taxi or Uber experience that you've ever had. Starting at the top.
Alrighty, this is Franco. Oddest? I don't know. Not really. Luckiest, I went to Boston a couple years back. Mm-hmm. Got off the train station, and living in Philadelphia, where I used to, I was also used to the train station being literally surrounded by taxis. And yeah. Get off the train station in Boston, and I'm looking around. No taxis.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on?
Well, did you get off at North Station or South Station?
North Station, I believe.
Yeah, there's like nothing.
Much to my surmise. So and it's in a light drizzle, and I'm contemplating with a bum knee trying to walk to the hotel. And thankfully, about a block, it was heavy traffic. A couple of people got fed up with sitting in traffic in a taxi, got out, and I jumped right in.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because that would have been a long walk to. Because I think that you were staying, weren't you staying near, like...
Yeah, the market.
The market, yeah. So yeah. That would have been a walk across town for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin. Let's see here. Weird cab experience.
Yeah,
I haven't really been in a cab.
Okay.
Uber, whatever much.
Okay.
I guess one could kind of qualify in with just kind of who I was with, because a internet friend of mine had to go to one of like the embassies to take care of something with his having to do with his wife. So he was in New York City, so I ended up and he also needed something printed out. So I met with him in New York City, and at one point we ended up having to go and take we took a Lyft cab.
Okay,
but
yeah.
It's just kind of weird meeting like somebody that you've never actually met in person, having to like print out like a thing for like government documents for them, and meet them in New York City.
Yeah.
And then end up like going and having lunch and like taking a Lyft ride. Yeah.
What a trip.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Next.
This is Chris. Got a couple. They're not really like crazy, but just like or odd. But I had one Lyft driver in New York who had a Tom Brady jersey just like laid out on his dash, Tom Brady hat, and he was like wearing a Tom Brady shirt and everything. So, you know, I get in his car and I'm like, oh, so are you from Boston? And he was like, no, I just really like Tom Brady. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Really weird. Have like a New Yorker just like infatuated with
Tom Brady. You
that and the Patriots and everything. So it was just, that was interesting. And a couple others were just like, so with my company, we have a office in New York City. So I have to, well, pre-pandemic, I've had to go there a few times to do computer stuff there. The problem is the hotels in the area that I like to stay at. One is on, I think, Washington Street. And that confuses a lot of cab drivers because there's a Washington Street in the Fashion District, and there's a Washington Street in the Financial Manhattan, or Washington in the Financial District in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I have to argue with them that I want downtown Manhattan Financial District, not Fashion District. And a lot of times, like, they just have no idea what you're talking about. The other one, which is, like, it's just, you know, you can't win here, is on Water Street. Problem is, there's a New York City, there's a Water Street in New York City, but there's also a Water Street in Brooklyn. So it's like, you have to be very specific that you want the Water Street in New York City. So it's just like, you can't win either way, whichever hotel you choose, because it's just, and there was one time where I flew directly in rather than taking the Amtrak, and like, I was getting like afraid of for my life because the cab driver was just freaking out because his phone died and apparently he didn't have a charger for his phone. So he couldn't get the GPS to go there. And I'm like, it's just like, I'm fairly certain you know how to get to World Trade Center. You know, it's literally one block away from the World Trade Center. So if all else fails, just drop me off there and I'll walk.
Take me to the World Trade Center.
But then, you know, just another quick story too. I think this was like the very first time I had to order a Lyft, and it was with Game Church when we were at E3 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We were staying in a very sketchy part of LA, and everything had gone fine the entire 4 or 5 days we were staying there. And just so happens that, you know, the leader that we had with us went out to go start the van because he was going to drive us to the airport, and the van wouldn't start. So he called AAA. AAA came, opened up the hood, and took a look in the engine bay. I was like, "Oh, your battery's gone." So during that night, at some point, someone had come by, somehow managed to pop the hood, and just cut the wires off of the battery. Not even just separate, just cut the wires. So they couldn't even just replace the battery. They had to wait for a tow truck to come to take it to a garage to place the wires and everything. So we're all kind of like scrambling. So I ended up having to get a lift or order a lift for like 4 or 5 of us to get to the airport so we could all leave.
But there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. My name is Steph. So craziest taxi story. This was an airport like van taxi in California. I was taking it from the airport to into Ventura, I think. This was for one of the academies, Chris. And the only one I went to out there. So I got this like airport van, this airport shuttle to take me over there, like, and you know, for a fee. And there was a few other, like, a couple in the car, as well as another guy. He dropped the couple off first, and it was this kind of middle-aged man who was driving and so this other guy that was left, something happened. We pulled up at where they were dropping him off, like in this like California suburb, and pulled up. It was nighttime, you know, so it was dark outside. And when they went back to the back of the vehicle to get the suitcase, there was an altercation. Like, I was the only one in the van at the time, you know, because the driver got out to help him with the bag. There was some kind of something was said in between the two. And the next thing I know, they're like saying obscenities to each other. The van driver was a bit more vehement with what he was saying. And to the point where, like, the guy getting out, because I recognize, you know, the van driver's voice saying more stuff than the other guy. And so whatever the driver had said to him, I didn't really catch the words. This guy that had gotten out of the van, like, after he got his bag, actually stood in front of the van to take a picture of the driver, of the license plate, I guess, to report him. The van driver moved forward, like, with the guy standing in front of the van.
Yes.
You could clearly see him because the headlights were on. And moved forward and, like, kind of bumped him. And the guy was like, oh, like, you just try to run over me? And so as the guy's yelling at the van driver drives away, like, quickly. And I'm the only one in the van. I'm in the back seat. This is a male, like, middle-aged driver. And I'm just, like, fearing for my life at this point, kind of. And because I don't know what was happening. And then, like, so the van driver looks in the rearview mirror, and he was like, you saw what that guy did, right? He jumped in front of the van. He did not. But me, kind of afraid for, like, because, again, I'm the only person in there. I was like, yeah, that was crazy. And he was like, you saw that, right? Like, trying to get me to confirm that I saw that he jumped in front of the van. And me, afraid, I was like, yeah, that was wild. And he was like, so if I call my supervisor, would you mind telling them that that's what you saw? And I was like, sure. Yes, I will definitely do that. And so he literally called his supervisor, like, pulled over the side of the road.
Oh my God.
And I got into, like, the second seat. Like, I had to get closer because he was just holding it back, like, the phone. And I talked to his he explained what happened to his supervisor and handed it to me. And I was like, yeah, I saw. And I basically was like, yeah, I saw him jump in front of the van. Like, you know, yeah, like I didn't give any details. Like, yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he took me to the hotel, dropped me off. And again, like, as he's getting my bags out, like, assuring me, like, you saw what happened. You know, I didn't do anything, right? Like, kept saying it and saying it and saying it, like, trying to confirm with me. I was like, yeah, yeah, that was crazy. And then, like, he started driving. And then, like, he, you know, drove off. And I was, like, literally shaking because I was, like, I was, like, he could do anything. Like, he almost ran over a passenger. And like, the company, and, like, gave them, like, the route number, like, the time. I think he maybe gave me his name, like, during the whole phone conversation thing. So, like, I did report that, like, hey, like, I did say that I saw this, but I was afraid. So, you know, here's what actually I saw happen. Yeah. So there you have it. No, they didn't. My first time to California.
Welcome to LA.
Welcome to Cali. But yeah, no, I don't think that they ever contacted me back. So I don't know. But yeah,
we, like, demanded a refund.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so let's get into our conversation about Nightcall. So this is week one of two. This week we're all talking about, because there's three different kind of styles of the investigation and kind of a set, like three different setups of the investigation that you're having to do. The one that the game recommends, it's like a general thing, is the judge. So that's the one we're talking about this week, all of us. Next week, we're going to kind of split up the last two and just kind of generally talk about those in more of like a roundtable discussion next week. I have very little notes on this since it's kind of, a straightforward game and there's not a ton of story, only like the stories that you hear from the people that you pick up. Because for those listening, you're a taxi driver. So that's our intro question. So we'll kind of cover mechanics as we get to them, as we kind of go through like the setup of the investigation here and what happens. So the game kind of starts like your character wakes up in the hospital. You had been attacked by and are the sole survivor, like the only person who has survived this killer attacking people around the city. And you're in, I think, is it Paris? I know it's somewhere in France.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Paris, yeah.
But of course, everything's in English. Did you feel that with this kind of like, because you wake up in the hospital, you're kind of, then after a few things of dialogue that kind of sets up, sets up like what happened as you're talking with one of the nurses, who's kind of off camera or, not in the scene. It goes to you talking with what I assume is your boss, who's kind of sitting in the back of the taxi and having a chat with you to kind of set up like, okay, well, you got to do this and this. And then like I think you play for a full day before you start getting into like the investigation Maybe you do a couple people and then like the woman climbs into your taxi and is like, hey, you're the sole survivor. You're going to help me catch this guy. So you have this many days and you're basically working for me because she has blackmail on you that you were in jail before. And she's like, I bet your boss doesn't know about you being in jail. Somehow it feels to me that his boss seemed like that he was like familiar with him. And I'm like, I'm not sure that he would care that he's been in jail, but it was for killing.
Yeah.
Which you kind of find a little bit more about throughout, but not a lot. There's not a lot of information that's given to you about that whole incident. Really only like kind of vague things. And then it just kind of like lets you go. Like after this woman leaves your taxi, she was like, you have this, you have a certain amount of time, to find out more information. Here's your suspects, which there were like five of them at the beginning. Find out which one of these people did this. Finds clues. Do what you need to do. You can get people talking to you, and sends you on your way. So do you think that the game gave you enough explanation on what you're supposed to be doing? Understand like your purpose? Like what, like for me, for instance, like it took me a long time. It took me a bit to kind of realize that the ones highlighted in yellow when you're on the map, and we can talk about that more in a bit, but like that those are the people that are your suspects. And it took me until the end of the judge to really realize that going to one of the
eyeballs.
Yeah, the eyeball places can sometimes like give you information.
Yeah. It's supposed to be your informant, which I 2 days in, maybe 3 days in, not counting the first night, is the first like I like, oh, let me see what this eyeball does, And yeah. It's like then you had to pay $250 for the information.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Do I have to do this every night? Pay $250 for information? Yeah,
that's why I didn't go to a few.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I I figured since it was an eyeball that it was like something to see. Like it's not a patron, it's not a client, it's not a patron or whatever. It's something to see. And so I was like, no, like I didn't go to any until my last day, like after I'd already said who I thought did it. And I was just kind of biding time. I went mm-hmm. to one of the eyeballs because I was afraid that it would take up time in my day. Right. I was like, I don't want to. And I think it does, but I was just afraid that it was going to be like 3 hours pass by. And I'm just like, well, I'm not going to make up that money now.
Yeah, exactly. I was the same. I was just concentrating more on looking for, I didn't recognize the yellow outline people were actually. And then, like, the third night, mm-hmm. I'm starting to pay attention to the pictures, you know, versus who's available for pickup and stuff, looking around to see if there's any suspects around. It was kind of weird. And then I noticed, again, like, two or three nights in, a lot of the clues on the board don't have connecting lines. You have to move them down to the bottom to see that they don't have a connecting line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
The other thing too is like, I hated the way the clues worked, especially with examining the documents and everything, mm-hmm. because you didn't actually read anything. You just held your mouse to.
Yeah. Add clues to the board. Yeah.
Quote, examine them. And then it's like you're reading the clues and a lot of the clues make no sense to you whatsoever. It's like, oh, this person wrote something in chalk on the ground. And it's like,
yeah,
what does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, in context, like even in context of this, what does it even matter to anything at all? Because I have no idea what the overall context of this even means to everything itself.
Yeah.
So like, if I could actually read what the whole report said, maybe it would make more sense.
Yeah.
But this person just writing something in chalk on the ground, doesn't prove anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard. Yeah. No, I agree. I've even finished like the second one, like, you know, for next week. And it's still like, even though like I had more like clues that were connected for my second one, because anyways, we'll get to that. But like, yeah, the ones that weren't connected, I still, like, there were a couple of them that I would read and I'd be like, okay, well, if, because, you know, you can go up to the pictures and get short, very short descriptions of the person, of one of the suspects, you mm-hmm. know, of like, this happened to them. They're this. They have a son, you know, who does this. And so, like, there were a couple of, like, maybe one or two of the unattached clues that I was like, okay, well, this could be that person because, you know, say that they were, you know, they went to juvie for setting something on fire and, well, there was fire at this scene, you know, or like, you know, something was set on fire at this killing. And we'd be like, it's a little far-fetched, but maybe. And kind of put it like,
nothing really solid
on that person, because I was like, I don't want to connect it with them because it seems very far-fetched. But
so I somehow had all the clues connected to someone.
Wow.
I don't know if you picked up the Edward Snowden like character.
Yeah.
So there was a you could pick up this guy, I can't remember his name, but basically he was tasked with digitizing all of the police documents.
Okay, so he was the guy that did the police leak.
Yeah, and basically he was like basically saw all this corruption going on and leaked it all. And I was able to talk him into helping me with the investigation. So I don't know if that helped with getting me, like a lot of the clues linked.
Probably did because
the only thing that I can think of.
Because I had a lot of clues that were unlinked. Probably more, not the majority, but yeah, a lot of the clues that I had linked were like very generic, like the killer was less than 800 centimeters tall.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, everybody, all but one were less than 100, you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very generic. Yeah. So yeah, so that Snowden guy probably linked up a lot for you. Yeah.
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 I mean, this one guy, I guess some of the miscellaneous people you pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yes, we've already talked about the clue board. You know, you have, like, when you, because for this listening, like, you know, so you're out, you can pick up passengers during the day, and then, like, after your shift is over, which I never really, it literally took me until my second game to really understand the clock.
Yeah, like, 4:45 was when your shift ends, pretty much.
Well, for me, like, I kept thinking for this entire first one that it was counting down, that it was like, okay, like, you're, because I think I never really noticed when I started out my shift on the first game.
Like 2,200 hours, yeah.
Like where it stood, like where, yeah, like where the meter started.
I guess because I saw the game at PAX East,
mm-hmm,
and was able to talk to...
Nice.
Not like the developers, but at least like
the people that worked on it.
I talked to the artist, and then I was able to talk to at least one of the persons that was like working on the game, but I don't think she was like a developer.
Mm-hmm.
But and I got to play like a really early demo, mm-hmm, of the game, so I had some familiarity with the mechanics, so it wasn't as jarring to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I completely understand someone just jumping in and not getting, especially like paying attention to your gas gauge and everything like that.
Yeah. So that I was fine with. That I actually didn't have. I think because in real life, I have like a phobia of that, like an anxiety attached to like, do I have enough gas? Should I get gas? Like, I always like to keep it above like a quarter of a meter. So as soon as it would get down to like a quarter, you know, only a quarter of a tank left, I was like, I got to stop and get gas somewhere. So that, yeah, that wasn't too much of a problem for me. But yeah, for this listening, yeah. So you pick up your people, and then after your shift is over, you go back to your, you know, it kind of like automatically goes back to your apartment. And that's when you can look at your clue board. And then once you're done with your clue board, you know, kind of looking at it, you can click in the night and you kind of go to sleep, wake up the next day. And I guess all this person must sleep for like...
All day. Yeah.
All day. Like, because like as soon as he gets up, he's like, okay, on to work. Like there's nothing else that this person does, but like sleep for 12 hours and then work for like 10.
Yeah.
You know, you have little dialogue boxes. Different things happen sometimes, but usually you have the same kind of prompt right before you go to sleep, and then around the same thing when you get up. It's a little bit different each day, depending on what's happening or how close you are.
There was one day I picked up Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. And it was funny because, you know, when you're talking to him, he's like bringing up things from your past,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
And then when you drop him off, he just suddenly is like, yeah, this is the alley. So you just drop him off, and like you can either choose to just drive off or wait. So I chose to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're watching him just kind of like walking around the alley, and then all of a sudden you see him like duck behind a
trash dumpster or something, yeah. Crash,
like just like disappear, but nice. Then later on, and like a few days later, you're laying in bed, and you're like thoughts are kind of like streaming through, and you're like, and one of the thoughts was like, was that really Santa Claus?
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't get that because I didn't watch him.
I picked him up, and then the next day in the newspaper, they had a article about arresting some drunk person dressed up as Santa Claus on the fire escape at the top floor of a building or something.
That's the other thing I was afraid to do was read the newspaper because I didn't want to waste time. I was like,
I know.
Because I ended up doing it anyway.
Yeah,
I did it once, and then like a half hour passed by, and I was like, oh no!
So
I have to go.
I tried to read the newspaper, and nothing happened. Like the only thing that happened was time passed.
I think I got one clue out of the newspaper, and that was about it.
But I think like my game was kind of glitchy too, because there were a few times where like it would progress to a scene and then just immediately go to the next one. Like there was one eyeball one that I went to, and it loaded, and for a second I saw like a wine glass, and then it went right back to the map, and I couldn't even read what was showing up.
What did you play it on, Chris?
PC.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
PC here. Huh. There was one time where I went back to the map and I couldn't move my mouse at all.
Oh.
And I think it was at a gas station. So I had to go back to the gas station and leave, and then I could move.
Oh, that's so weird. Yeah. The only thing that I had that I can think of right now that I had kind of glitchy things with was sometimes when the passengers were talking to me, and you know how the camera will kind of like sometimes go from like you to them and kind of shift a little bit, it would shift over, like it would get off center and it would shift over to like the passenger seat, like in the front and go in between like them. And like, it would kind of like, so it wouldn't be even focusing on anyone. It would just be like on like the front passenger seat in the car. And I'm like, why are we looking at this? So, which is really weird, because I'm just like, I don't know how that would happen. I mean, it must be some... Anyways, so, yeah. Super weird.
Yeah. Another thing at the gas stations, I thought at first...
Oh, God, yeah.
When the four icons showed up, there were just different varieties of newspapers. Like one's a $4 newspaper, one's a $1 newspaper. Didn't know that
some of them were scratch tickets.
Yeah, they were scratched. Until I figured, well, let me try the $5 newspaper, and that was a scratch off. And I was like, oh, and I won $10, and I'm like, yeah, hey.
yeah. I won like, I think the most I won was like 40 one time. I didn't do it too often because I didn't do it in my second game, because my first game I was afraid that it was passing time when I was doing it, and I was becoming really like, I was very time focused in my second game. Which did it help? No, it did not. The cat.
The cat was great.
Yes, I love the cat.
Before going to those, to the passengers, how did you like navigating the map? Did you have a, because I, well, I mean, I mean, I can get into this once y'all talk, but like, did you have a system for like the passengers that you choose? I mean, of course, like you're supposed to go for like the ones that are in yellow, but did you go out of your way like a far distance to get to those? Or did you wait until you came to them? Did you go to people that were close, or did you go to people that you knew would give you information?
So
there were times that would just drive me crazy where I would wait forever for one to show up, and once it finally, because there were nights where I never saw a single one,
and then there were nights where
I'd only get one chance for one, and then when it would finally show up, I would go to it, and then along the way, like the little ghost boy would show up in my cab,
and then it would reset,
and then by the time I got back on the map, it would be gone, and I'd never get another chance for that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the ex-cop till like almost the next to maybe three nights before the end.
Yeah.
And that was it. Once I saw him once, I think.
Yeah. I saw the lady I only got the lady once. I got the home this guy showed up.
It was all over the place. Yeah, he's all over the place. Time.
But I only got him like maybe two or three times. And I got the cop twice. I got the lawyer once. And like,
yep, same.
He was immediately ruled out at that point. Because I got him to talk about the person he was.
Defending.
Defending. And then I think, was that all of the...
There were five. And then was the other one was a younger gentleman.
Oh, yeah. I got him once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the cop. I mean, I had the same problem. Like, And even in my second game, like, I didn't go too far to get to one. Like, I only went to them if they were in, like, the vicinity. Like, if I could see them on the map and they weren't, like, all the way across the city, then yes, I would go to them. Other than that, like, if they were kind of, like, off the map somewhere, I was like, no, I'm just going to wait to see if I get closer to them. And... other than that, like with the people, with other people, random people in the meantime, I just picked up whoever was closest, unless it was someone that I knew wouldn't pay. Like if it was the homeless guy, if it was that one woman who doesn't have her, you know, who stays at a shelter, I think as well, or stays with her friend that never pays. I picked those up maybe like twice each, and that was it. I was like, nope, sorry. Like, and they kept showing up to like right around me, and I was like, no, I'm not, because like I was losing money every night. I was losing money every night. I don't know if there's a way that you can gain money. Actually, because it felt like it felt like no matter what I was doing, so I was picking up people that were close. I was, you know, taking them. I was trying to get, I wasn't going far out. I wasn't wasting time. I didn't look at papers. I didn't do that much of the scratch-off tickets. I only filled gas when I needed to. And yet I was still losing money every night. And it frustrated me to no end.
Because no one tipped well.
Yeah.
No, no one
tipped. Oh, the CIA guy didn't tip anything.
You know, the poet lady, like...
She tipped pretty good. She was
the best tipper. I got like an 18 franc or pound or euro, whatever you want to call it, from her. Right. As she
euro money.
As she slowly shrank into the distance.
Yes. Yeah, because it had to, like, it was kind of frustrating because you're making me think too, because it's like you see where you have to pick it up, but you don't know where you have to take them.
So it shows like when you go to like when you click on them and it's like accept, it shows like a line of how far you have to take them.
Yeah and it's they're always taking you far away. A lot of them are.
Yeah,
you can either accept or decline, right, as well.
The way they look at it, the farther it goes, I mean, I would think the more you're being paid.
Yes, and yeah, the fare is but there's no guarantee on the tip, right? So it's like you almost have to think like a taxi driver. Is this trip worth my?
Well, I was trying to, Frank. I was trying really hard from the get go to be like, you need to think about this like a taxi driver, Stephanie. And it never worked. It never worked. Like, I think in the first game, towards the end, I was starting to get more, but I don't know if that was just by chance or if I was doing something better. But like, I started to get less of a loss each night. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's like, you know, you're kind of building it up. Like maybe it gets, but then it ended after night seven or something like that. And I was like,
The thing that confused me the most though, is that like near the end, it was getting to the point where like your remaining balance is 87 francs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'd start the next day at 350.
Yeah.
You start at like 190. And it's like, where'd this extra $110 come from?
I thought
it was 89.
I remember ending one night in the red with expenses.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
so
and then never the next, happened to me.
The next,
you.
I thought it was going to be game over. I thought I was going to get fired, right? Next morning, 350 francs. I mean, 350 euros.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
I mean, I guess... I guess.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get fired. Yeah.
I guess technically, if you're accepting money, then I guess if you're accepting like actual money and not just cards, then you would have to have some kind of change, I guess, on you.
Yeah, bank to start the day.
That's interesting that it didn't even count. Now, I saw someone, what was I looking at? I was looking up something, like, not a clue, really, but, like, I don't remember what it was. But I caught a message board that was, like, that said that, oh, if you lose money, it's immediate game over, but apparently not. I mean, but if you get in the red, if you lose all of your money.
Yeah, I was really close. I thought I was, because I was looking at it, I'm like, it was the night after I paid the guy $250 for the information. I was like down to 40 euros, right? And I'm like, I'm not gonna have any money at the end of the night. I'm gonna pay my expenses. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It
was weird.
Yeah, so my whole plan for picking up passengers my whole plan for that didn't work because I kept losing money. So, yeah. And then we're talking about your end of the night tally where you're losing money consistently out the wazoo.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know if it's even possible not to lose money. Like, I feel like every night I was at least, I think my best night I was maybe just like $102 short.
Right.
And I'm like, God.
Yeah. Why is this guy driving? We're not making any money.
Okay. So passengers, friends, mm-hmm. What? Did you have any memorable passengers that you talked to? Going back to the suspect passengers, yeah. Like, I actually only picked up the ex-cop. I never did, I don't think. I never picked him up. And, yeah, anyways, we'll get to that at the end. But,
yeah. Yeah, the cat and anybody else pick up the cat's owner later on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was, and then the thanks you get, right?
It's did like you I tell was. Her?
I was honest, and I'm like, I told her where the cat was.
I was honest too.
And she's like, "Cat's probably dead."
I guess it's another thing to talk about. Like, if you like, so for my first game, and because again, for this listening, like, I play ahead just so I can have an idea of stopping points and such. For the first game, I played my conversations with people very like a. Like, not like I didn't ask them a ton of questions. I actually just kind of like, usually, unless they seemed extremely, extremely bothered, I'd be like, "How are you doing?" But usually I would just like let them start talking. That didn't work out too well for me because I didn't have any information on the first game. Like, I literally, right. I think that I ended the game with one more clue than what I started out with. Like it was sparse. The second one, I started asking questions a bit more and stopped being like I am myself, of just being like, if they want to tell me, they'll tell me. Like, that's how I operate in real life. That was not working for the taxi driver. So I had to start asking questions and being like, hey, how are you doing? Like, you know, and kind of egging their conversation on a little bit more. And it seemed to work better. And like, I did obtain more clues in my second game that way.
I had a sentient robot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That was fun.
That was basically escaping the lab to...
I'm really sad I missed that.
I don't know if it was on its way to destroy itself or to... Oh, no. Basically go into hiding and destroy the research, because it was essentially like, I'm doing this to save humanity, because otherwise we are going to replace you. And there, it was basically like implying taxi drivers and,
right. You know, yeah. With electrical cars,
minimum wage, workers and everything like that. That was an interesting one. And then I picked up Drunk Power Rangers that were looking for their
Drunk
friends.
Drunk Power Rangers were wild and very time consuming.
Yes.
God. I picked up
were those the people that had the helmets that looked like freaking Daft Punk?
Yeah, it's the only ones.
Okay, I haven't picked any of them up. I just was like, who the heck's the Daft Punk person?
There was a
cosplayer
passenger.
Yeah,
they had a really interesting story.
Which one?
And it was basically picked up a cop that came from a bar or some. They were celebrating something. I can't remember, but essentially, he had been lying to his team that he had a girlfriend. And they were getting married soon, but essentially he was gay and getting married to his partner soon, and you know, talking to him on whether or not he should talk to the cops he works with or kind of keep it silent, because they use derogatory terms around the people they bring in. And but he was saying that, you know, they're not mean about it or anything like that, but he's also nervous of what they'll think because he's been kind of lying to them for all this time and everything. So that was kind of
what is it? I picked up a cosplayer that was heading for, because he was only doing the cosplay because he wanted to.
For the girl.
Yeah.
There was a vigilante.
The masked Joker.
Yeah.
Picked up the masked Joker. Yeah.
Like, there's no one around. All of a sudden, you see a body fall from a two-story window.
I picked him up twice, and then the second time he was really hurt, and I was like, do you need me to take you to a hospital?
With my pants.
A lot of those were the ones that like just had an outline for a picture.
Yeah.
They didn't really give you a distinct look at who it was.
Yeah.
Second
game, I stopped picking those up because I was afraid. I was like, I don't know who these things are. Sometimes they'd be like amazing. Sometimes they'd be like, you get no pay because it's a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, the ghost. Yeah. And I mean, some great stories. I mean, what was it? One Indian woman is going to go meet her husband to be at the airport.
Yeah. I've never seen him.
The couple looking for a place to have their first time.
Two young kids. Yeah. They were very young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about, like, you know, their parents. And yeah, those were sweet. Honestly, like, I was very, like, my second time playing, like, I was a little more callous, not callous, but, like, not as affected. But my first time playing, I was actually very affected by, like, some of the very,
touching stories, yeah.
Touching and kind of nuanced stories of the passengers that you'll pick up. And if you pick them up more than once, like, you get continuations of the story.
Right.
There were a couple. The poet. It was like, that is, yeah, the poet. There was the older woman and the younger guy. Like,
yes, that was a great one. Yeah.
Which was very fascinating because, you know, she talks about, like, because he's asleep and she talks about, well, I think, like, by the time that she leaves, she was like, I think I'm going to go up there and tell him, like, and break up, you know, and break, or, oh, yeah, yeah. She's telling you, like,
take him to another hotel.
Take him to here and I'll, you know, just, you know, take him somewhere else. And I think I refused.
Right, I talked her out of it.
You're not going to do that. Like, that's
same thing.
You know, because she was talking about how much she liked him, and I was like, "Oh, you, yeah,
yeah."
And then the one I picked up this one woman who, this one, kind of broke my heart. But I was also PMSing at the time, I'll be honest. So
<It's all right.
laughs> the tears might have been from that. But it was a girl that, like, a young woman who you pick up, and she asks you to, like, to flirt with her like you would.
Oh, if you're that's the other suspect.
At a bar.
Yeah, that's the other suspect.
Yeah, but of course, I left the conversation not suspecting her, because she was very, to me at least in this conversation, very real and honest, and she was just very sad, and, you know, and I agreed to, you know, and so, like, I did a couple of lines, and she was very grateful. It's like, she was like, thank you, I just needed to hear, I just needed to hear how it would sound or something, like, you know, I just needed to know how it would feel to, like,
right,
have someone say that to me. And I was like, oh my god, thank you. And so, yeah, and then she just left and just walked into her house or apartment or whatever. It's like,
yeah, it's kind of like semi-unfortunate. I realized she was a suspect. So yeah. Everything was going on was, like, shaded in my mind. I was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, what you getting at here? What are you know, trying to find out more about me? What are you doing? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with you.
I had another lady that was fighting with her mother on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And, like, how you can interrupt by saying, it's like, hey, we're about to head into a...
we're heading through a tunnel.
A tunnel.
Yeah.
And then she uses the excuse that the phone connection is cutting out, and then
you're able
to have a conversation that she, you know, she failed the bar exam.
Yeah.
That she wants to be a dancer.
Yep.
But her mother thinks she's throwing her life away, and so
that's, you know, the first couple nights or maybe three nights, you're like, man, these are really great stories. Right. And you're then, like, you're getting around night six or seven, you're like, I'm getting nothing out of this. I'm getting no clues. I'm getting no money.
I gotta go. Gotta get out of here.
But yeah.
Oh, and the girl that would appear, like, did y'all get the girl, like, from the future?
No.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I gotta find her. Oh.
So I don't think she wasn't anyone that I picked up. It was like, it happened, and it was one of those that it happened in between. Like, I was going to get someone, and she appeared in she appears in the back seat, and it's like a almost like an intermittent transmission. Like, she's fading in and out, and she's from the future, and she's telling you, which I kept thinking I would come across a passenger like this, but she kept saying, you need. Like, she, like, didn't give you a name, but, like, it said something like she needs to go to, and she named a country that I don't remember right now. Like, she needs to go to this country. Like, it's very important to the, it's very important to, she would cut out. So, like, she can't, like, I only got her that one time on the first playthrough. And I was, like, keeping an ear out for, like anyone talking about going across, like a journalist going across the country, like, you know. Like, but I never picked up anyone who was, like, waffling if whether they wanted to go out of, you know, to another country for, like, a story or something. So I don't know. I don't know if, like, they were talking about someone that you could pick up, or if it was just, like, a random thing, you know? But, yeah. And then the second playthrough, I actually came across her twice. So you still have a chance.
Did anyone get themselves?
No.
Yeah. Once first playthrough.
When you're driving around, like, you start falling asleep, I think, and then as you're driving, you appear in the back seat, and basically, like, you're yelling at yourself to, like, remember details of what happened.
Yeah,
and you remember that. The glove that the serial killer had on was ripped, and they had wrinkly fingers.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, yeah, I can see how that's pertinent.
Yeah. So, Yeah. Any other interesting passengers that y'all picked up?
I'm glad that, I mean, after I just finished like 7 o'clock tonight. And I said, well, let me see. Let me just start the next Sandman. Because I wanted to see if you kept this, you know, the storyboards for all the people you picked up. In the, what is it called? I forget what they call it. The Bins of the P. In the menu system.
I think it's like the French word for the passenger.
I didn't even know that even happened. Yeah.
If you go into the main menu, you can click on whatever it's called, and it'll show you all the passengers you've interacted with so far,
and all the information you've gotten out of them.
Yeah.
Or whatever the high points of your conversations with the people. Yeah. And if there's more to learn from, there'll be like three or four entries underneath that says like lock. You haven't uncovered pieces of information.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was going to take a picture, but I forgot. So I was glad to see when I got to the next chapter that the board still had the people that I had met in the first, you know, in the judge playthrough.
Yeah.
Which tells me that you can meet these people again and like complete some, you know, some more stories with these people.
Yeah.
And then it does look like there's like a free roam option too that you can just drive around and.
Yeah, I saw that. Did anyone pick up the priest, Christoph? He was Oh man, I got him a lot, especially the second playthrough. He was a priest. He had fell in love with a woman, and so he was, and apparently like he had taken a vow of like, of course, not marrying, and so he was struggling with like whether he should remain a priest or like he really loved this woman, or if he should like leave the priesthood and start having a relationship with, you know start like move in with this woman. I think like at least like I only picked him up once in this playthrough, and he's very sincere. He's very, you know, a young priest. And but in the second playthrough, I got him three different times. Very interesting. But he was probably one of my favorite.
You pick up the guy who's a pickup artist at the airport.
Oh yeah,
yes.
I love that because he's like, "What's? Why did your cab smell so horrible?"
Yeah,
and it's him.
And then he gets out, and you're like, you're sitting there watching him. And it's like, and then you notice a brown spot on the bottom of a shoe.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, he's going to the airport
He just scrolls the airport. He had to pick up women.
Yeah,
he's got it all figured out.
They're
he's
weak.
Got
they're vulnerable.
Yep, yep. They're
just
trapped.
Saying goodbye to someone. Yeah.
Yep. I see him on the city map a few times afterwards. It's like, do I really want to?
Yeah.
Continued lessons on being a pickup artist from this guy.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's
a lot of people. I'm going through this like passenger list, and there's a lot of people that like. There are so
many.
Did
anybody pick up a knight?
Yeah,
I've seen him on the board, and I did not. I was like, it was getting late in the game. Like, you know, she was like, I think it was like the night before when she tells me you got one more knight. I'm like, nah, I can't waste. waste a trip on this guy.
Talked in these and vows.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot what his story, like, what he was doing. I don't remember. I don't think he ever explained, like, why he was in a knight suit. And I think that was like, he left, and you're just kind of like, I don't really understand it. Like, you know, like.
What a tremendous sight. Oh, the marvel.
Yeah. 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 Trying to stay in character. Hey, so moving on into the decision. After so many nights, you get a call from the police officer who is demanding a is demanding to know your name, like who you think did it. And we've already kind of talked about like clues and stuff. For me, this was just a shot in the dark. Like,
yep.
I had picked up the other people. And as I said, like, I only picked up, like, one extra clue. I only got one extra clue other than what I started out with in the judge. And I had picked up, I think, everyone except this guy. Except the ex-police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just don't, like, what, like, I think it was the woman that was kind of like, eh, you know, maybe. But, like, I don't, there was someone that was iffy. I don't remember who it was. Oh, but
for me, the woman got eliminated the first call, a phone call.
Oh, well, maybe it must have been someone else then. But there was something about, like, I was just looking at the clues and looking at, like, this. And I was like, this is a shot in the dark, but I think I'm just going to go with this guy. Like, it was something about him being, like, I think it was he was an ex-cop. And there was one clue that I was like, okay, like, this is a good one. And I went with that. And
I was almost like in your situation. I didn't have too many additional connected clues, and I was like, well, they're all, you know, and then, but the woman had a lot of the Argentina things filled in for her. You know, her father was working with this and that, and the one crime scene had a clue that was from this group from Argentina. So it's like, well, I went with her first, and that was a washout.
Like I said, I had that clue with the glove being worn,
mm-hmm.
and fingers being wrinkly. So that clue showed up on the ex-cop and the lady. So, you know, picking up the lady, I did not get the feeling at all that she was capable of doing it. And talking to the ex-cop, it's it has to be him. There's just, I don't know. Because it was between him and the homeless guy, where I only had like three clues on him, and none of them like made any sense. And then I had the other guy, which just had him linked to a gun and like some writings or something like that. So it's just, the evidence was just overwhelmingly in support of the ex-cop, or the retired cop, I should say.
Right.
Ex-cop. So I gave his name, and then it was funny because, you know, they go through the whole thing of, you know, meet at the warehouse. You got to pick him up, meet at the warehouse. We're planting a bug in your taxi so you can get a confession out of him, because he's probably not going to talk to us once we arrest, if we try and arrest him first. So as I'm driving around on the last night, the homeless guy shows up. So I pick him up and we're talking, and he just like all of a sudden starts bringing up the murders and everything. He's like, you know, I saw the guy. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I got that too.
But I only saw him in profile. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, so he was talking about, like, apparently he was sleeping in one of the alleys and where the last victim was shot and everything. And he saw him in profile and he walked with a hunch. So it was like, all right, out of all of the suspects, the only person that would walk in a hunch would be an older guy. So it's like, I'm fairly confident that I got the right person here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and thinking back, the biggest, most important for this kind of case piece of information that they didn't give you at all was who were the victims.
Yeah.
I think considering what you find out later, if you had known the connection between the victims, it would have been like, oh yeah, it's got to be, you know, the ex-cop.
Yeah. Because
corrupt and
people who got away with
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you take, it's funny, you're supposed to pick him up that last night, but you still have a full it's not, he's the last pickup of the night. You still have a, you still have to pick up people that night, you know, until the clock runs out on you.
Two. Yeah. I think like I always was the only one to get like two other people in before.
Yeah.
So did you take him directly to the warehouse or?
No. I took him to the spot he wanted to go.
Yeah.
Now, did you talk him out of it?
No.
I really thought, you know, I was honest with him. And when the end, when he goes to get out of the car, you know, and I say, don't shoot yourself. I know what you're going to do. I thought, you know, I thought that was the line that was going to get him not to do it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, is he also said that he was riddled with cancer. And
yeah, he was. Yeah. He was going to die anyway, which is probably why he was started committing these crimes anyway. Yeah.
And he said he didn't want to see his face all over the papers and magazines and everything. So,
right.
Yeah. 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 I know. I took him to where he wanted to go and then I was not. And then he shot me.
He shot you?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he
shot me.
Oh
my this, God.
This yeah. must have been the one because I remember or I watched somebody do a playthrough of this. I guess this was the case that they did, the judge case. And they ended up getting the outcome Steph had. So then they went and redid the entire day because they're like, oh man, I don't want that end.
I wonder what the key is. Did you ever pick him up? Maybe if you never pick him up.
No, I never picked him up.
That might be it. That might be if you never pick him up, he might shoot you. Yeah.
I think it might have had something to do with the way that the conversation just went.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Did he confess to you and everything? He went through the whole spiel?
Oh yeah. He went. I mean, I don't remember how much, but yes, he did confess at least part of it. And then I was like, yeah, I'll take you to this place. And then like my guy was like, yeah, I can take him here, and then somehow like go around or something like where like I still get him to where he needs to go. But the guy was starting to catch on. So we didn't even get to the place. My guy was like, because I think that I chose something of like, yeah, I can like, to where I chose something to where like my guy was thinking, okay, like I can just, you know, move around to where like I'm still getting him there, but he thinks that he's going to this other place. And, but the guy started catching on. He was like, I know this isn't the way to where I want to go. And he was like, he asked me a question. And I answered wrong, I guess, and he shot me.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's what it is. Like, you, like, depending on kind of what you get, probably go, he starts realizing, hey, you're not taking me where I want to go.
Well, good to know that can happen. It's not on rails. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So then there's, after the credits, there's an epilogue, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because I'm thinking, oh, I got two other chapters to play. There's a choice at the end of the epilogue. You're just sitting there. Yeah, I guess you drive to the edge of France or Paris, I guess.
The epilogue is because I missed it both playthroughs.
You're on your own. I guess it's the end of your shift. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're sitting there contemplating. You call, I think, your brother.
Oh, how did I miss this? I have no
idea. And leave a message.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you see a hole in a fence, and I'm guessing it's and it says, "Do you want to stay and continue, or do you want to disappear?"
What?
Yeah.
Oh, did I get? I might have got this. I think I did get this. I think I did because I was like, well, what? But like,
if I disappear, do I get to play the other two chapters? Right?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Well, then also, like, well, the other two chapters, though. I mean, just to clarify, it's structured the exact same. It's just a slightly different case.
Yeah, that's what I found
And then,
yeah.
like, there are, like, it's like you have more, like, there, are, it's harder to get clues. Like, there, it lists them, like, when you go, when you hover over them, like, why it's different. The case is slightly different, or, you know, the case is, like, a different, like, person doing it. But, you know, it's not, like, a continuation, as far as I can tell.
It's a repeat of the same timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get shot. You wake up in a hospital, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but to me, I'm just like, I mean, at least in a couple of conversations, or at least in one in particular, I can't remember.
Yeah, you get a phone number from a girl, yeah.
No, well, no, not that. I didn't get that. No, he was talking about, like, he told someone, he was like, this cab helped me to, like, reinvent myself. Like, it gave me a new... Oh, it was someone I picked up that was, like, talking about their ex... Like, their history. That they were a con... Like, they had been in jail.
Oh.
And I don't remember who it was or their name or what they look like. And I... And you had the choice to come clean, you know, to be like, yeah, and to say, like, yeah, I've been arrested too. And to tell them what you were arrested for, and I did. And... Ooh. The guy is like, I just, you know, because he talks about, like, yeah, they just let you loose. Like, they don't, you know, they don't give you any way to, like, cope with, like, the real world. And you, and if you open up like that, your character, you know, your guy goes into, like, I, you know, this cab has given me a new, like, gave me a new lease on life. Like, it gave me, like, it calms me. Like, it's my safe place. You know, like, you know, he was like, I was a mess before I started driving. And so when it came to that decision, I was like, why would I, what? No, I'm not going to just, like, slip in through a fence and just disappear from everything. That sounds like a very rash decision. Right. And completely unlike your character, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt. It's like, what? No.
Course, oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I must have got that one time because, like, I know for certain I was shot the first time. So that must have been the second playthrough I got.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah, how could you have that if you
got shot? How could you have that if you got shot? But, yeah. Yeah. All right. So anything else that we want to talk about with the judge before we close out for this week? All right. So next week. Oh, sorry. Did you have something, Frank?
No, I just, like, reiterate what we said. Is just, like, I wish I... It's going to be interesting. You know, I don't know if I'll play the judge over again, knowing what I know now about how the game plays, to see, you know... And knowing that in other playthroughs, you can... You don't have to worry about missing the oddball character stories, because you can always go back and play other modes and pick up all the oddball characters.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I'm also trying to figure out, because, like, when you read the newspaper, he mentions various places, and I'm not sure if those places are just gonna, like, end up getting added as, like, places where you can go for getting information, or if it's just, like, noteworthy places people might want to go that you can potentially pick.
I had, like, I think at least 4 eyeballs on my map. And I was reading newspapers, not every night, but, like, maybe every other night.
Yeah, I had a lot of, I wasn't reading newspapers and I still had eyeballs. In my
okay.
Map,
yeah. So that, I don't think, yeah, they're not dependent upon.
Yeah. So I was going to tell you is that I think you'll be okay, Frank, just playing, if you want to just play one of the other, you know, just playing one of the other ones, because I came across some of those. I mean, like, there were so many people that there were some people I came across in the second playthrough that weren't, that I didn't come across the first hand, but I also came across ones that I'd already came across, and it was, like, the same story over, you know what I mean? So it wasn't, like, a continuation of that, like, you know, like, you're starting over with your conversation.
Oh, well,
with
that sucks.
But again, like, there were so many people to where, like, you're not going to be hitting the same people as your first playthrough, unless you're extremely unlucky. But I'm extremely unlucky, and I did not hit the same people every play, you know, the second playthrough. So I think you'll be fine. I guess the only thing that you'll have to, like, consider is if there's, like, if you know, I guess if you just wanted to like see if you could get more clues for the first one, or if there were people, if there were suspects. I don't think the suspects are pickable, or even like just passengers in the other ones. Like, I think that they're out completely.
Oh, okay.
Because I never saw any of those. Any of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Good to know.
Because you have a new round of suspects because it's a different case.
Right.
Yeah. So. All right. So yeah, next week. So I'm playing this. There are two other for this listening. There are three different three different options for play styles, as you've kind of heard me talk about through this. Three different cases that are basically the same like game, just different kind of set up differently. So we play the judge this week. Next week, like your other two options are the Sandman or
the Angel, I think.
The Angel of Darkness, I want to say.
Death?
Oh, the Angel of Death. The Angel of Death or the Sandman are the other two options. I am playing the Sandman. So as long as someone else is playing of course, I told Jonathan, I think, to play the Angel of Death. As long as someone else is playing the Angel of Death, then we can, like, talk about both next week.
Okay, yeah, because I already started the Sandman.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So the Angel of Death is out there. Not all right. Literally. I mean, maybe, kind of, but...
Well, he's always out there. You
know. So, yeah. So, and then next week we'll have, like, just a roundtable discussion of, like, things that are different, or if, like, Madeline and Jonathan join in, their thoughts on, like, everything. So, So, if you want more Game Chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcast, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under the Game Chat. For our past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us over on Twitter at @the_game_chat, or follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question, or and we might just read on the show. Wow, I just like completely skipped over stuff there. On the current game that we're talking about, we might just read on the show. You can email us at chatwithus@thegamechat.net, or email us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we'll be chatting about week 2 of Night Call. So until then, thanks for listening, and I'll chat to you later. Bye.
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 Bye.